heating up.
That's the country song, right? Remember when?
Thank you.
Jacob Bigelow.
Yeah, whenever my open is concocted, throw that in there.
He's on fire!
Jacob Bigelow, Huskers Illustrated, on the Connor Happer Show, on 1620, The Zone.
Boom shakalaka!
All right, back from is Jacob Bigelow, Huskers Illustrated, and the Stretch Big Podcast. Jacob, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I am okay. I will say this. I've always wondered how the Elvis Presley estate is still making so much money to this day. And then I looked up that the cheapest ticket to go to Graceland is $85.
Whoa! Just to go?
Yes.
Is there like activities inside there? Is there like a Ferris wheel or something?
I forget the list. I looked into it for the bit, honestly, after how last week went.
Yeah.
And then the cheapest package, because they had all sorts of different like packages. Like one, you can see Elvis's hangar and see all his planes and cars and the cheapest one was $85, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, I probably would have passed too, but I don't know. The bit would have really carried it a long way if you would have been able to get it done.
That is true. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think you probably made a sound choice, but I really would have liked to see the pictures from it, to be completely honest with you. But that's okay. We'll talk about the rest of your short stay in Memphis as we go along here with Jacob Bigelow. So we thought going into the tournament when we talked about it last week, when we had the draw, and I think the general consensus was that we talked about this on your pod and on this show, like, yeah, I kind of like the draw. We knew that Texas A&M was athletic and that would give Nebraska, you know, its own set of problems. And I think we were worried about the offensive rebounding stuff. Like, did the take of like, that was a good matchup for Nebraska age poorly, or did Nebraska just not play well enough?
Oh, it aged like milk in the Sahara Desert. That was a pretty, bad observation looking at it at first, kind of as I went on, later in the week, like watch more films, like some like clips. I was just like, I don't know if Nebraska can guard this team. And it's unfortunate for them because, you know, we heard throughout the season, I've said it multiple times on these airwaves that, you know, Fred Hoiberg hammered home that he knew that that team needed defense to be their constant. And in the last two games of their season, it sure as hell wasn't. And in the Illinois game and the Texas A&M game, they were eerily similar. And, you know, it was a matchup from hell. I mean, they scored 83 points and still lost by double digits. But, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. And what it comes down to more than anything is that, you know, that's just the NCAA tournament. Like, it's so dependent on matchups and your draw and momentum and also there's all these things that go into it. And if you have one bad night or you play a team that just has flames shooting out of where the sun don't shine and they're shooting like the 2016 Golden State Warriors, you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
What do you think happened to them defensively over those last two games there, especially second half against Illinois, into the first half of Texas A&M?
I mean, they just don't like, I mean, it's a personnel thing, in my opinion.
I think that's partly it. I agree.
It's an athleticism thing. I mean, they don't have anyone who they can say, hey, Terrence Shannon Jr.'s on a heater, go get him. Like, they don't have, or Wade Taylor is torching you, go pick him up full court. Like, there's not a guy, you know, on that roster who is, you know, I mean, who's, you know, a stout, you know, on ball defender. They're not the most laterally quick by any means. I mean, I think more than anything, it's a personnel thing, and it's, you know, that I'm sure it'll be addressed plenty over the next, you know, month or two in the portal with, you know, all the off season stuff. And, you know, there's, there was no time to breathe. I mean, Fred said it, said as much after the game. You usually have time to breathe after these kind of losses and the end of the season, but portal's open and you got to get down to business.
The regret, I think, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, if I don't know if it's a regret, but maybe the lesson from the game, because like we knew what they were and we knew what they weren't. What they weren't is the dudes team, the athletic, you know, guys that were going to be able to guard people, and but they had made do all year with effort and some timely shooting and hot shooting at the right times as well. Like they had made it work, and it ended up being a pretty good formula at the end of the year. But I think the kind of lesson from it was I felt like they kind of let things get sped up on them a little bit, and you know, that can happen when the team across from you isn't missing anything. But I just felt like they maybe a little too willingly fell into that trap. I would have liked to see them just like play well, just as I would have liked to see them play well against Creighton, and just to see what would have happened in that game. Like that's, I guess, the kind of regret from Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, you've only got one guy on your roster who's been on a stage like that before in the NCAA tournament. I mean, NCAA tournament games, they're different than any game you play all year. The prep is so different. The stage, the open practice at the arena the day before the games, you're in front of the media so much. I mean, there's a ton that goes into it, and that is completely different. And, you know, as corny and cliche as it is with, you know, all the guys that have the eligibility for next year, that's what you tell them all off season is remember that feeling. Remember that feeling.
Yep.
Remember the emotion that was in the locker room, and you carry that with you and you do what you can to, you know, build from it and, you know, hope to not be in the same position again next year.
That experience will definitely help them in the long run.
Absolutely. I completely and totally agree.
What else did you think of, one thing that was obviously apparent from me sitting there watching all the coverage from you and others in Memphis was the hunger for the Nebraska fan base, the amount of people that traveled there. Every picture I saw was just people painted in red. And the first, you know, 6-8 minutes of that game was like this like sweet release. They were making everything like, what is going on? That part of it was really cool. Like, what did you take away from the fan base's involvement in going to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 10 years?
Oh, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was, you know, I was just, you know, seeing, I mean, the first two games in the building that day, there were more Nebraska fans there than Baylor fans, Clemson fans, New Mexico fans, whatever, whoever was playing. I mean, it was mostly Nebraska fans walking around the concourse. I didn't partake in any of the festivities on Beale Street, but it sounds like the night before on Beale Street was quite the party. I mean, and all the, you know, you're seeing pictures, you know, of all the bars being shoulder to shoulder with Husker fans. I mean, there's no other way to put it aside from just a hunger. And, you know, people who probably were, you know, did what I did 10 years ago and drove down to San Antonio and, you know, where I'd waited so long to be back there. I mean, the Nebraska basketball diehards are forever loyal, you know, through thick and thin. And they, you know, and I completely agree too. I mean, those first 10 minutes felt like the sweet release of holy bleep. Like, we can do, we're here, we can do this. This is incredible. And then just, unfortunately, basketball nature took its course for the rest of that game.
Hey, Jacob, I don't know if you were listening. So we'll morph this into a conversation about, you know, Nebraska basketball and what to expect, I guess, going forward. We always reset it around this time of year. I think you were listening during our blind coach resume segment earlier, which I had a lot of fun putting together. I'm going to reread the Fran McCaffrey one. And I'm going to make sure everybody is sure on what this is. And I want to see what you think about it as well. So over the last 10 NCAA tournaments, the last 10 tournaments we've played, he's made it to the tournament, seven out of 10 years, but he's never gotten to the Sweet 16, and they've won 4 games. And then they had 3 years where they didn't make the tournament, 2 of which they went to the NIT, including this past season. Like, that's, Is that a reasonable expectation for Nebraska basketball in a 10-year stretch?
Pretty close. I mean,
I know it's crazy to think about considering they haven't, you know, they've gone twice in the last 30,
yes.
You know, but like,
yeah. Oh yeah. I mean the time before this one, I was 16 years old. And the time before that I was 9 months old when Nebraska, you know, their last couple NCAA tournament trips. But I mean, and there's, and, you know, on the surface, looking at that, like, yeah, you'd love that from a Nebraska perspective. I mean, it's where you look into what went into some of those Iowa seasons where the Fran fatigue is set in Iowa City. But, you know, the year they ran through the Big Ten tournament, the year they had Luka Garza, who was the National Player of the Year, and they still didn't make the second weekend. That's where all the Fran fatigue comes from. But to have, if you're looking at it from the Nebraska perspective, I mean, I said that as much on social media on Friday, you always want a seat on the ride. You don't want to miss the height requirement.
No doubt.
You don't want to get told you have to sit this one out. You want a seat on it, regardless of where it ends. You know, when it gets to February and March, you want to be in the discussion. You want to be a part of it. And yeah, that's just how I say it. You always want to be on the ride.
Yeah, a lot of these discussions, Jacob, are really hard to have with Nebraska because their lack of tournament appearances. And like, so we had one person that commented in that said, I would trade 25 years of not making the tournament for one single win. And I said, I don't know. I don't think you would. But like, I don't think you would. So it's really hard because the perspective kind of isn't there. But I don't think it's that like out of the blue, especially what they've done this year and how Fred's, you know, it feels like there's some sustainability there. Like, it's not that crazy to say they could go to 3 out of 5 tournaments or something like that, but I know we say that every year.
It's become ad nauseum in some ways, but I mean, and I'll talk about this on my pod this week. Like, looking back at this season, I mean, they overachieved. They overachieved.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They were greater than the sum of their parts by far. You could look at their roster from top to bottom and say that they had a group of, you know, mid-major all-stars, and they finished third in the Big Ten, and they made the NCAA tournament. And you know, basketball is a make shots game, and they were a make shots team for most of the year. If the shots were going in, they had a great chance. The games where they weren't, those were the games that turned ugly. And it just it's obviously, you know, Fred has proof of concept, you know, with this season. The jump that they made from last year to this year, even from 2 years ago to last year, you know, the trajectory is going up, and you know, we'll obviously see how it plays out with roster construction, and you know, they'll be in a pretty good spot, you know, next year. This didn't feel fluky by any stretch.
Yeah, there's some openings on that roster at the moment. Your thoughts on the early goings in and out of the portal for Nebraska?
Was certainly more surprised with the Eli Rice news, but I guess, you know, I was later told yesterday that had been a thing for a couple weeks. You know, the Ramel Lloyd thing, I mean, Noah Vedral and Brant Banks played more games in Nebraska basketball jerseys than Ramel Lloyd did, which is crazy to think about considering how important that felt, you know, when he reaffirmed his commitment to Nebraska, you know, coming out of Sierra Canyon. Just never really worked out for him, but now they've got the 3 open scholarships. Their name has been listed quite a bit, reaching out to guys who are in the portal already, and there'll be plenty more in as, you know, more team seasons come to a close the end of this week, and you know, it'll portal combat never stops.
Portal combat, one of the best. We have some really good stuff on the coaching carousel front today, and so I have to get your quick thought on the emergence of Richard Pitino seemingly being the front runner for the Louisville job at this point. That's right, Richard Pitino to Louisville, potentially.
I mean, it's
amazing.
It's quite possibly the funniest outcome. It is. I mean, that search is starting to mirror the UCLA search a couple years ago, where they wound up with Mick Cronin, and people are like, "What?"
Good one.
He was like their seventh or eighth choice. People like to forget that John Calipari's ridiculous contract is because UCLA just reached out and said, "Hey, John, what do you think?" And they're like, "Lifetime contract, here you go." So I mean, it's starting to eerily resemble you know, that, but I'm sure that people down there, it would be a pretty mixed bag. People saying, why Richard? And then it'd be people who would just be happy to see the Patino name affiliated with that program again.
Yeah, that would be quite the result of that. And then I'll get your thought on this before we let you go. The maybe surprise over the weekend, maybe there was a couple, depending on what perspective you look at it from. Dusty May to Michigan instead of Louisville, where it seemed like that was headed that direction. And then D-Rock at West Virginia. Like, those are both kind of maybe a little off the board for what we thought was going to happen with those two.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I got the sense that, you know, Dusty to Louisville was kind of trending. I saw a picture on Twitter that there were a bunch of chairs set up at the Yum Center, like they were preparing for a press conference. And then the Michigan notification drops from Woj, and that kind of does make more sense because, you know, Dusty's a low key guy, likes to listen to Rod Wave in his free time, but he's a low key guy. Basketball at Michigan will never be, you know, the primary thing, especially coming off a national championship in football. So he'll enjoy laying low for a couple months in Ann Arbor, and you know, I think it's a good addition to the Big Ten. And then, you know, D-Rock to West Virginia, I mean, that's a pretty damn good hire.
That's a great hire.
And you get the 2-for-1 of D-Rock and Tucker heading out to Morgantown. But, I mean, Drake has been the record speaks for itself with DeVries at Drake. And, you know, they're going to play hard. They're going to play good basketball.
Incredible fit. Incredible fit.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if his personality – I don't know if it's a personality fit, but I think the product on the court, you know, how they're going to play, you know, people out there are going to love it.
Yeah.
And it's going to – you know, I think it's going to be a pretty good – pretty good spot for D-Rock these next couple years.
Plenty more to come on the coaching carousel front. The journey has just begun. Jacob Bigelow of Huskers Illustrated. Stay tuned to what he's got coming out. I expect. So will there be a pod this week or two or seven or however many you did last week?
We did three last week because of the circumstances of the quick turnaround from Minneapolis to Memphis and everything in between. And, you know, thanks again to you and Amy for hopping on. Those were very fun, but, there'll just be one, kind of looking back on the first weekend, previewing the Sweet 16, and you know, I think I'm trying to effort another guest to maybe do a post-mortem of the season at large, but we'll have some more of that coming, and then you should be able to find the newest edition of Huskers Illustrated with my Keisei Tomonaga Q&A out now, very soon, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
All right. Appreciate it as always. We'll look forward to it, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jacob.
Yep. Appreciate it, Hap. Thanks, man.
Jacob Bigelow, Huskers Illustrated. Check that out. He had a good story about his sort of like journey with Nebraska basketball as he was headed down to Memphis. Threw that one out there right prior to game time if you wanted to get a little sappy and emotional. I know there's a lot of people who are real sappy and emotional about Nebraska basketball.
I noticed he didn't invite me to do the post-mortem on Nebraska season.
Maybe now that you're of TV.
Oh, he didn't think I was obtainable?
Well, now he might not. Now yeah. You might have exceeded that line now.
Sure, sure.
Unfortunately for you. Josh will still go on your pods if you're interested.
Okay. The meanwhile, in college sports, the dominoes keep falling as the AD roulette continues to spin and spin and spin. University of Washington
need a new athletic director.
They got one.
Oh.
The athletic director at Washington State.
Pat Chun.
I'm sure that'll go over swimmingly with everyone involved.
Well, that's been a bit of a revolving door, that Washington job over the last couple months. Mm. By the way, Troy Dannon's press conference is coming up in a half hour.
That's right.
Quick timeout. We'll come back with more on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.